Bibles on page 633. Today's reading builds on the common ancient Near Eastern metaphor of the king as a shepherd. Judah's unjust rulers have caused their people, their flock, to be scattered. Nevertheless, the Lord will raise up a new and righteous shepherd who will rule a restored Judah. A reading from Jeremiah. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people, it is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. So I will attend to you for your evil doings, says the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they shall not fear any longer or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please rise for the gospel.
Today's gospel comes to us from Luke, the 23rd chapter, and can be found in your pew Bible on page 856. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching, but the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." The gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, today, as I looked at the gospel, the word that caught my attention was the word remember. Remember. So I think that's an interesting idea. It's an interesting concept, isn't it? And even our memories themselves are really quite interesting. So I thought I would ask, for you to think about, what is the earliest thing that you remember? What is your earliest memory? Anyone like to share? It is a long time ago for some of us, not so much for others of us, but yeah, but it is a long time ago. Okay.
Learning to ride a bike.
Learning to ride a bike. Okay. Yeah. That's something we typically do as a fairly young person, you know. So, and were you successful in bike riding, Kathy, or not so much? Yep. Often it does, doesn't it? It takes a lot of help to be a successful bike rider. So, other early memories that you have?
Looking at the window and watching the neighbor kid riding my bike.
Oh, riding your bike?
Yeah.
Marilyn would look out the window and watch the neighbor kid ride her bike. Now that is...
I was sick and I remember not being happy. But I was like three.
You were like three. And you were, so you were sick in bed and the neighbor kid was taking advantage of that, of your being tied up in bed. Not tied up, but it being in bed sick. So... Yeah.
I remember when we were really young and we had records on a record player and we had just gotten a new record player.
Yeah, we had a record player that we used to, a toy record player, we'd put in the middle of the room and we'd dance around it. So that was exciting, one of my earlier memories. So, but it is fascinating, isn't it, what we remember and also kind of what we forget as well, because there are big chunks of growing up years or even years as an adult that we sometimes don't remember much of anything from that. But it is interesting what we remember. And today we hear these words, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Those are the words of the thief on the cross. And they're really familiar words. A lot of folks have heard those before on Good Friday, or some people just have heard them in other places as well. And I think they're so familiar that we don't stop to think that this is a little bit odd to ask someone to do. Because why would a dying man ask another dying man to remember him? It's really kind of odd. If you're on the cross, typically people on the cross lived about 6 hours maybe after you were crucified before you died. So it was not like you had months and months, you know, to think about things when you're up there. And so here, somebody who's dying asks somebody else who also is dying to remember him. And that's just a little weird. So the guy's gonna, so he's asking Jesus to remember him just for a couple hours until they're both dead? That's a little bit unusual, I think. And even if it's true that Jesus is the King of the Jews, like the sign above his head says, even if he is the King of the Jews, a dying king is almost worse than a lame duck president. Because a dying king is dying, and his power and ability to influence and do things is coming to a very, very finite end very quickly. A dying king has no power. The army generals may not or may choose to obey commands that they might be given, and the army might choose whether or not they're going to follow those commands. A dying king typically does not have some superhero rescue plan in place to be, you know, to be saved or to have their life extended. A dying king has no saving power. And a dying king has no reason to remember someone they've only known for 2 or 3 hours at the most here. So why call on Jesus? Even if he is a king, why ask Jesus to remember you? Why would you do that? And yet that's what he says. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And I think the reason why he asked that is because things are not as they seem. And the dying man, the thief, knows that things are not like they might seem. Because he says that Jesus is indeed truly innocent. Jesus has not done anything, slightly even, to deserve what is happening to him. And Jesus, he implies, has a kingdom. And it's a kingdom that is not like this world. It's not like the kingdoms and political entities of this world. Because this is a kingdom where things are different, where people forgive. As Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. This is a kingdom where everybody is welcome, where there are no barriers set up to say you have to be this kind of person to come in or that kind of person to eat at the table, where everybody is indeed welcome. This is a kingdom where the hungry are fed, where the sick are healed, where the lonely are restored. This is paradise. This is perfection. This is heaven come to earth. And here God's power is seen. God's power to rule the universe is seen in unlikely places, in weakness, in death, in sacrifice, and in love. And that's such a contrast to the way the world understands these things, because the world sees that strength comes in power and might, in abilities to make people do what you want, to tax, to raise an army, to do all those kind of things. But here the thief says, Jesus, remember me. When you come into your kingdom, Jesus, remember me. When you come into your kingdom. And here God kind of turns everything upside down. And yet, even as this kingdom seems odd to us, it also seems deeply familiar. Because I think those words, remember me, are some of our truest dreams and some of our deepest hopes. Because isn't that what we want? We want people to remember us. We want to make an impact. We want to leave behind a difference, to make a change. And we want to know that we, as messed up, as undeserving, as chaotic, as confused as we so often are, that even then we do matter, that life has a purpose, and that we are part of it. I think that's what we really, truly, deeply want in our heart of hearts, is to be remembered, to make a difference. And that's what we ask Jesus. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. I ran across this article, these words of an author, a pastor named Frederick Buechner. And Frederick says these things. When you remember me, it means that you have carried something of who I am with you, that I have left some mark of who I am on who you are. It means that you can summon me back to your mind, even though countless years and miles may stand between us. It means that if we meet again, you will know me. It means that even after I die, you can still see my face and hear my voice and speak to me in your heart. For as long as you remember me, I am never entirely lost. When I'm feeling most ghost-like, it's your remembering me that helps remind me that I actually exist. When I'm feeling sad, it's my consolation. When I'm feeling happy, it's part of why I feel that way. If you forget me, one of the ways I remember who I am will be gone. If you forget me, part of who I am will be gone. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom, the good thief says from his cross. There are perhaps no more human words in all of Scripture, no prayer we can pray so well. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember us when you come into your kingdom. Amen.